A lot of what?
What's your prediction?
No, late meeting?
No,
I don't think so.
Okay, good evening, everyone.
He's saying that with confidence.
This is the council meeting of March 12th, 2018, 7:03 p.m. Well, here we go. I sound like a broken record. Oh, sorry.
No, they don't do that.
Okay. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231 PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 2, 2018, which was posted on the Roosevelt Bulletin Board, at the Roosevelt Post Office, and on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was mailed to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Ms. Phillips?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Parker?
Here.
Ms. Parrott?
Here.
Ms. Sheehan?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. And sitting to my left is Andrew Sobel. He is the partner of our municipal attorney, Greg Cannon, who will be late this evening. So Mr. Sobel's taking his place until Greg Cannon arrives.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. All right, well, now I really sound like a broken record because I'll start over again. We had another nor'easter last Wednesday, and most of the residents lost power by early Wednesday afternoon. And the remainder, except for a lucky few, lost it in the evening. Public Works worked very diligently to help clear branches, downed wires, and of course they were busy plowing. We opened the Borough Hall to all residents, and quite a few people took advantage of this. The first day we had coffee and snacks, but by the second and the third day, in true Roosevelt fashion, there was a smorgasbord of all kinds of food and refreshments. We also had board games here, and thanks to Faye Nolman, she brought in quite a few of those adult coloring books and a huge array of crayons and markers, and so there was something for everyone to do. And I put this in the Borough Bulletin, but I'll repeat it here. Anytime the residents lose power or there's any other type of emergency, the Borough Hall will always be open for the duration of that emergency. Now, tomorrow, another nor'easter, number three, is expected. It's been greatly downgraded. Nonetheless, we're prepared for whatever materializes. And again, if we lose power, the Borough Hall will be open. Okay, I would also like to address the concern that Sharon Walsh expressed at the last meeting. As I had said, Jersey Central Waste and Recycling is our recycling company, and they accept items 1 through 7, with one exception. They do not accept number 6. I researched number 6, and evidently it is takeout food containers. So I don't know. They weren't much more specific than that, other than giving the chemical name of that plastic. But 1 through 7, except for 6, is accepted as has been the case for quite some time. Welcome. Now, what I would like to do is go out of order, because we have a guest tonight. Where'd she go? Oh, okay. Our municipal engineer, Carmela Roberts, is here, and she has a report to give us. And so rather than make her wait through our whole council meeting, does anyone mind if we go out of order?
I'd like to make a motion to change the order of business to allow our borough engineer to speak.
I'll second that. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, great. Carmela?
Thank you.
Joe, do you want to lower the mic a little bit?
Thanks, Joe. Thank you. And please feel free to ask questions, because there are a lot of things to be discussed. with the water and sewer system, and if I happen not to address what it is your question is, please feel free.
She's got to come up a little bit closer. I think she's got it.
Okay. How about that?
Right.
Good. Okay. I had a discussion with Larry Sear, the NJDEP enforcement officer for the borough, this morning. I also attended a meeting and a tour of the water plant on Friday. I've toured the sewer plant at other times, but that meeting was to discuss two letters the borough has received from the NJDEP, signed by Larry Sear, about the condition and status of your plants and certain items that responses are required by the borough. What Larry Sear told me is that in regard to the notification that was issued in October, the borough has appropriately responded to all the deadline dates in that report. And there are no pending fines relative to responding to this report. Regarding the second letter, in reference to the sewer plant, which the borough just received on March 5th, the borough has until March 22nd to respond to the DEP. And I was assured by Toby Moore that he is in process of preparing that response to the state. And so if we could talk about the issues at the water plant. Even though there are no violations in regard, did you tell DEP what you intend to do? The items that require the borough to act at this point are in relation to a public notice regarding sampling that was not taken in August of 2016 for total trihalomethanes and haloacetic acids. In addition, the iron sludge that is in the sedimentation tank and the aerator at that plant must be removed. The fencing around the well, around well 3, that security fencing, must be replaced. And the water storage tank drain valve has to be corrected. There's a temporary repair on that, and that needs to be removed and made permanent. That's what's happening at the water plant. And just in general terms, there is the installation of a post-chlorination system is required. The DEP requires that the last step at a treatment plant must be disinfection. Right now you pre-chlorinate, and there is enough of that chlorine that remains in the water that you have an appropriate residual in your water when it goes into your pipes and into your homes. Regardless, the DEP requires a post-chlorination system be installed. Right, so I am moving forward and looking into how to address all of these deficiencies or these notices from the DEP. I do want to recommend to council that when we put the post-chlorination system in, that we change your method of disinfection. It's a post-disinfection system. Right now you use chlorine gas. You're the last utility under Mr. Larry Sears' jurisdiction that still uses it. It's dangerous. Chlorine gas is dangerous, and it could easily end up in the hospital. You do take the precautions, but it's still a dangerous chemical. I would prefer that you use a sodium hypochlorite, which is liquid and is far easier to use and is safer. Those are all the things that are happening at your water plant.
Can I just make a note that Greg Cannon arrived? arrived at 7:14.
Great.
Our attorney.
Can I ask one question about the sodium hypochlorite?
Sure.
How was that dispensed?
It's in a liquid form. It comes in a liquid, and it is distributed in tubes into the raw water. It's just safer because of the different
state.
The word. Thank you. State. Yeah, solid, liquid, gas. Right. This one's a liquid.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Sure. Any questions about the water plant? All right. The water plant does remain in good condition. It was upgraded, I believe, 3 years ago. It just needs good ongoing maintenance. At your sewer plant, there are a number of reports that have to be provided to the NJDEP, but I'm going to focus on the construction items, the things that were pointed out, deficiencies that were pointed out during the inspection. At the time of the inspection, the grinder and the auger were not working. As of today, the grinder is back in, the auger is working. It is operating in an automatic mode right now because there is a broken sensor, a replacement part is on order. When it arrives, you should be back on an automated system. The primary and final settling tank rotating skimmers are not operating properly. The trickling filters weren't operating properly. The chlorine contact tank needed to have the surface water cleaned. The sodium aluminate tanks require cleaning. And the other items are simply a matter of reporting errors. In my opinion, the sewer plant needs a good solid review so we can determine which items need longer term maintenance than what is here in this report by DEP. And I believe you can do that. You can create a plan and have these improvements made in an economic way.
Carmela, Andrew Sobel just pointed out on the resolution 18-51 it says replacement of sodium aluminate tanks.
That's right.
But
this said cleaning.
Right.
Well, when you're in that building and you look at those aluminate tanks, there is a lot of buildup and corrosion. But when you take a closer look at them, they are in disrepair. They need to be replaced. There's some railings nearby that have just corroded to the point that you must replace
them. Danger,
yeah. Right.
Can I add to that? It's the chemical itself wants to be handled by hazard type people so that they can take it all out, not leave any residue.
Right. It requires a contractor knowledgeable of this chemical and the special handling required.
So even the cleanup itself is like extraordinary because the scaling is all over the walls, all over the floor, all over the other floor. It's gotten out of the
right
retaining.
And that's why it looks like it needs to be cleaned up. There's just a buildup under the corrosion, and it gets hard, and it's deteriorated.
Also, is there a means of storing it without it getting into that sort of condition that it just scales all over the place?
Well, I think it does ultimately scale, but I also think it takes a careful delivery and careful operations and periodic maintenance to clean.
Ms. Roberts, did you review were you involved in any way in the solicitation of these three quotes that we obtained that were obtained for the borough?
I was not.
So are you aware of them at all? They're on our agenda for tonight?
I'm aware. I saw them. I reviewed them. I looked at all of them. They are three contractors that I'm familiar with who all can do this sort of work. And the items that they each included in their proposal appeared to be exactly, they all appeared to be proposing on the same scope of work as I read through. And the pricing was actually very close. I think it varied between $14,000 and $16,000,
mm-hmm.
right, which is a good indicator of a clear understanding to the contractors of what the scope is and that they're all pricing it appropriately.
Is it customary for you to be involved in the preparation of the request for such a quote?
Not necessarily.
No.
It depends on the complexity. There, in many plants, there are operators who can handle more maintenance-type items like this by themselves.
Does anyone at the table have any other questions? So,
just one question.
Sure.
If we satisfied all of these things for the water plant and all of these things for the sewer plant, or had a proposal that this is the way we're going to do it as we go forward, will the DEP be satisfied, aside from all the paperwork that is attached to this still?
What I know at this point is in regard to your water system. The violations related to not testing for the total trihalomethanes and not providing public notice are violations that will come with a fine.
Any idea of
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
No.
The public notice from the water situations we had last June
no,
and July?
No, specifically related to that the borough missed sampling in August of 2016 for total trihalomethanes, mm-hmm. and you still are out of compliance. You must send that notice out. Even now, you should get you must get this out as soon as possible and tell your residents that you missed this sampling.
Right.
Right. Even though you are fined, even though you missed it, the DEP still is requiring that the notice go out.
Did we test for that? So that's 2016. Did we test in 17?
Apparently. I don't know for certain, but there's
okay.
no violation at
okay.
this point.
And who would send that out? Who would write it
that
up?
That would be Larry Sear.
No, who?
No, send out our notice.
Oh, send out the notice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it would come, I believe it would come through your utility, your clerk's office, but I think we should be talking to the DEP to find out exactly how they would like that to be worded.
Okay.
So, regarding the question the mayor raised, the issue the mayor raised of the notice to residents regarding the toxic, regarding the caustic water last summer. So, there was no violation for that, not giving notice to residents of that?
Well, I did not discuss that with the DEP.
I had discussed that with the DEP, and they described it as woefully inadequate, but we didn't receive an actual fine concerning that. They just said it was inadequate and not up to standards, and we were going to have to find appropriate means of notifying all the residents.
So we didn't get a violation for
not,
it?
Not that I don't think we did.
And
no.
Mayor, there's two different things we're talking about here, too. We're talking about the notice to the public when that pH factor direct
yeah, June and
notice,
July.
And then this is an official notice of missing that goes out to the public in this very specific letter form saying
right.
we were to sample on this date, we're alerting you that we did not.
Right.
So there's just two
right.
different kinds of alerts they're referring
yeah.
to here.
And what
yes.
was that again that we did not test for in 2016?
Total trihalomethanes and haloacetic acids.
Can you spell that?
Yeah, really.
Total
it's in all the reports.
Total trihalomethanes.
I find it just...
When organics... mix with chlorinated water, these things can form. And they're dangerous, particularly to pregnant women, because right, they can affect your baby. It's a matter of oxygen to your baby. That's just one of the things it does.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions?
What would be the appropriate chain of command response to what needs to be responded to? What, you know, the
notice to,
yeah,
to your residents? Well, I think we need to contact DEP. I can certainly call Larry Sear again and ask him to direct me to where do we go to find out the proper wording for that. Mm-hmm. I think that's all we need. And then it gets issued to your residents.
Larry, we've been dealing with Larry Sear for quite some time. He's extremely accommodating and helpful to us.
No, I understand that. I just was saying, it's Carmela as the borough engineer, and you as the mayor are the people to follow up on this. That's all I was getting. Yeah. Okay.
Anyone? Thank you, Carmela. We appreciate this.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming, Carmela.
Thank you.
This is for you. This is the sewer VHS tapes I transferred over to DVD. The one says it's a pleasure.
Yeah, well, no gift. It's not a gift.
Well, Joe made pot roast for the Borough Hall for anyone who was in the Borough Hall during the blackout.
I did not make it for Borough Hall. I made it for myself, my mother, and my friends. And when we didn't have anything here, I brought it over. My refrigerator didn't work. I hope people that were here appreciate it.
We all ate it.
Okay, only in a small town.
Do we need a motion to go back?
Yes, to go back and follow the agenda.
A motion to resume the agenda?
So moved.
Second. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye. Yes. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we come to public comment for agenda items only. Mike?
Okay, Simon, 726.
Okay. Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. Okay, that's better. I just looking over the dates on the Toby Moore resignation letter, I noticed he had said he was resigning as of June 1st, and then this says it's extended to June 30th. Okay, I just want to point out, Division of Pensions requires resignation dates to be on the first of the month, so it really should say July 1st, not June 30th.
So noted.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
I mean, as a New Jersey pensioner, I'm aware of that. Okay,
thank you. Any, Bert?
Are you required to do it?
It's all right. What am I?
Bert Ellen, talk to Wayne from Old State Lane. On the minutes, and I have to apologize because I don't read them that closely. Item minutes number 3,
can you just tell us what
meeting minutes.
Which minutes you're referring to?
February 26, 2018. Are those a verbatim or just a synopsis?
Synopsis.
Just a synopsis. And when will they be available to the public?
The audio
aren't
the
they next online? Day, isn't it?
No, this is the closed session. So
the closed session.
Well, the need for confidentiality no longer exists.
Right.
I couldn't give you an answer.
Did you hear what Greg Cannon
said?
Okay.
In some cases, it always exists. For example, for personnel matters. In other cases, if it's a litigation's over, then they're released, but okay. Personnel matters redacted.
So let me pose another question. I assume that meeting was about personnel matters. And I assume that the personnel matter has been resolved. I'll leave it at that for a moment. Going on to the bill paying, I see we're paying again, we're paying large numbers for repairs at the sewer plant. So we've got a $4,000 bill pending, something like that. Is it possible that someone could prepare, somebody in the finance department could prepare a piece of information that would have the total amount expended for sewer plant and water plant repairs from December 1st of last year to March 1st of this year? Is that possible to be prepared?
Of course.
Okay, good. I'd like to see that. Now, Toby Moore, in his letter, says that he was been employed for the last 19 years. Will the date of his resignation occur before the anniversary of his 20th year?
I don't have that information.
Somebody have that information?
Actually, I think he was hired in the year 2001 or 2000.
I'm just reading what it says here.
Okay, I understand, but if it was 2001, it would be 17 years, I believe.
Can we find out for sure?
Okay.
Because I believe that that would have an impact on his pension, would it not? If he left before the 20th year, would it severely impact his pension?
No.
No.
It's 25 years of service in PERS.
25 years?
It's 20 in PFRS.
I'm sorry?
The police and firemen are 20. The PERS system is 25.
Okay. Thank you. That probably covers it. I'd like to find out. I'm sorry that Carmela has left, because I'd like to get. I didn't get everything transcribed as well as I should, because it moved too quickly, and I would have liked to have talked to her and asked her some more questions. Not questions, actually. I'd like to just tell me exactly what they were talking, what she was talking about, because I missed that. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Do you want to add something, Mike?
Yeah. Just want to clarify, under PERS, Public Employee Retirement System, you vet your right to the pension. You have the right to the pension after 10 years. It's 25 years is for health benefits, for lifetime health benefits.
Thank you.
Okay.
Would anyone else like to come to the mic? All right, we close the public portion at 7:31. Okay, we come to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the April 11th, 2016 regular council meeting minutes?
Motion to approve.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Can we have a discussion?
Oh.
Just briefly. These are minutes that were from 2016, and
yes.
Many of us weren't there at that meeting. We weren't council members. It's still okay. We're just memorializing.
Yeah, this is the same thing that was on the agenda. Because there were so many missing meetings, the borough clerk and the deputy clerk are now catching up. And so approving these doesn't mean that you attended the meeting, or that it just means you're accepting these as the minutes of April 11, 2016.
Well, just for the record, I don't feel comfortable accepting minutes of a meeting that I did not attend. So I'm going to abstain again.
On a question, was the audio tape from these minutes captured?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think Kathleen gave us an explanation the last time that this is just memorializing them, authorizing them so they can be archived, because right now they can't be, because there's...
Right.
And that being at the meeting didn't.
You're just accepting them for what they are, right? You're just accepting them for what they are.
You're not saying you were there.
Right.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, these are minutes that were never presented, never typed up or presented to the council for approval.
Mm-hmm.
So these were minutes that were not ever done.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to
but to be sure.
Well, there's been a few, little by little, many weren't done. So we're. As
oh yeah,
Kathleen and Lori get to them, then that's when, just so that they can be archived, they're coming to us now, to the council table now.
And to be sure, the audio has been recovered for that
meeting. These are typed from an audio.
Yes, okay.
Not verbatim. We just want to get the votes.
Recorded.
Recorded, yes.
Any other discussion? Okay, so...
Call. Ms. Phillip?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Abstain.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay.
Passes. I have a motion to approve the minutes for February 26, 2018, regular council meeting minutes.
A motion February 26, regular council meeting minutes.
Have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
And lastly, February 26, 2018, closed council meeting minutes. Motion?
Let me just question that we read them as the third alliteration from Kathleen.
Mm-hmm, sorry.
Okay. All right, no problem. I move that we accept the minutes.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yeah.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
We've come to correspondence. First item is the letter dated February 21st, 2018, from the State of New Jersey Department of Transportation, awarding the 2018 Municipal Aid Program for improvements to Nerco Road and Elm Court in the amount of $350,000. This is what I brought up at the last meeting, but we have the actual letter confirming this. Any discussion, questions? Cheers.
Great news.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job.
Okay. And our second item of correspondence is the resignation letter from Toby Moore, our water sewer licensed operator. Yeah. Well, we thought May 31st, but I guess since Michael said it should be July 1st, it went from May 31st to June 30th, but I'll make sure that Toby knows it should be July 1st. Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Effective July 1st.
I have a question regarding the agenda says I'll wait till we get to that resolution, but just note that it says it's effective May 31, not June 30th.
No, The resolution's in there.
Okay, the resolution will change the date later when you guys vote to accept it. It explains the circumstances under which Mr. Moore agreed to work additional 30 days to help in the transition.
Mm-hmm. So until we change the resolution, it's whatever it says.
But just noting that his letter.
Well, another letter will be forthcoming. He's going to send us a second letter.
Well, what controls is his papers with PERS. So, as I understand it, his paperwork has to come to the borough here, and he put down June 30th, 2018, notwithstanding the letter. So that was described in the resolution that we'll do later, accepting his retirement as of June 30th, and describing the circumstances.
Come to resolutions. Someone like to move resolution 18-50, payment of bills. Do I have a motion?
I move payment of the bills for March 12th.
A second.
Discussion? No.
Second.
Roll call. Ms. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
1850 passes. Resolution 18-51, replacement of sodium aluminate tanks. Do I have a motion?
I'd like to move 1851, replacement of sodium aluminate tanks.
Second.
Discussion? 1851 passes?
Nope.
No, yeah, no, I need to vote.
Do have to vote.
Trying to get through this meeting.
Ms. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Passes.
Okay, now.
Resolution 18-52, accepting the resignation letter of Toby Moore, licensed water sewer operator, and approving Mr. Moore's retirement to be effective June 30th, 2018.
A motion? Resolution 18-52, accepting the resignation letter of Toby Moore.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
I'd like to thank you for, are we going to...
Years of service.
Years of service. Things will change on that letter or not. Things will change because we'll have to redo, as Michael said, the date instead of the 31st, the 1st, or something like that.
Well, I think that's just on his documentation, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that's right. For the state.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, no problem.
But I did want to thank him for his years of service. It's a long time to... serve in that capacity, and it's a huge, huge job with all the paperwork. Yeah. Oh my God!
I think we should more than thank him. He's been here all this time, and he's done it pretty much on his own. He's older than I am, which is older, and
old.
There's no way that I think one person could do that entire thing.
Well, apparently they don't anymore. Exist anymore.
Yeah,
one person does it.
That's it. So
I think he may be our second longest serving employee in the borough. Mm-hmm. I think maybe only Eileen Levine worked here longer. She's a public school teacher. Chris, right, yeah. Right. So third. Full time. Full time.
Okay.
Yeah. Great label.
Full time. I was speaking of.
I'd like to move the motion.
I have a motion, a first and a second. Ready for a roll call? Ms. Phillip?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
1852 passes. Come to reports of committee chairs. First up, administration. Councilman Hamilton.
All of our committee meetings have involved employees. There's no discussion and no report until we can. Thank you.
Nice and short.
I'll print that up for you. Right?
Okay, community development code enforcement, Council Member Phillip.
I don't have a report, just that we're glad that we're going to be able to sit down and meet with our borough attorney to catch up on some things that needed his advice. But I also plan to, this is something I plan to do right from the beginning, to schedule out regular committee meetings and have them out. And once I talk to committee members, I think it's good to get something on the books, otherwise you don't end up meeting, and we'll do that after that meeting with Greg.
Environmental health and safety?
Wanted to remind everybody about the blood drive on March 27th. From 1:30 to 7:30, and apparently because of the snow, a lot of the blood drives have been canceled, so they're in sort of a serious situation. The supplies are down, so anybody who can make it, please do.
Thank you. Finance, Councilmember Parrott.
Yes, we held an open finance meeting on March 5th. Finance Committee meeting at 3 p.m. till around 5:30 p.m. Part of it, the final few minutes of it, was closed session to discuss personnel issues. We discussed the budget process generally. We discussed we briefly discussed the two issues, two of the issues that were raised in the correspondence from Bob Clark and Bob Cragen regarding a protocol for non-emergency goods or services to seek quotes past a certain threshold, and digital copies of borough invoices. We didn't make the recommendation at this time or at that time. We also discussed, like I said, the budget protocol. We discussed the purchasing protocol, like I said, generally, and we don't have any information. We're trying to get the information as to what the current purchasing protocol is, and so when we get that, we'll review it and then make a recommendation as to what we would recommend it be. Basically, that was the general discussion.
Okay, thank you. Public Works, Councilmember Parker.
So last Wednesday it was a snowstorm. A lot of downed trees, a lot of snow that had to be removed. Greg Defoe was working around the clock plowing everything, and Dave also was on hand. It's pretty crazy last Wednesday. I showed up later to check up with JCP&L as they were cutting off the branches from the tops of the trees. We assessed which trees were down, what brush needed to be cut. Next day, Dave was going around. He cut up a whole entire tree. I was actually watching him from my room. I didn't tell him this, but I was actually watching him. He was cutting down a whole tree that was down at Oscar Drive. And that actually knocked out some wires on the top over before as well. We also had to put up some conage. Greg was checking out some live wires he was concerned about, notified us about that. And Greg also put up some conage and horses around those before JCP&L could shut off the power. So communication is really good. We were supposed to have a meeting that day. It actually got canceled. But it's kind of, you realize how great it is to have three employees at this point, especially in cases of emergency. I was also in contact with Rob Masterson. We were talking back and forth as emergency management coordination just to see when the power could go on. We were just keeping contact. Also was keeping contact with Joe, Mike, everyone, Mayor. I'd also like to thank Robin as well for coordinating everyone, again, everyone on a group text message for coordinating how we could all man this place here while there was a we're just trying to coordinate when we were going to have everyone here just to watch over. But yeah, that's all I got. Last week was really crazy for me, so it's kind of really off the top of head right now. Yeah, that's what I got for Public Works for right now.
I'd like to ask just for a minute, just for a little leeway to add to his report, because it was such extensive work that we've been involved in on Public Works. But again, I just wanted to reiterate what Chairman Parker said, that it's great to have three Public Works employees who really work and do the job, and you really need them when you have a major nor'easter and you got trees down, power failures. Borough Hall needed to be manned. I mean, there was and snow cleared out of the parking areas, the first aid squad, garage, you name it. I mean, everything was happening at that time. And I think our Public Works employees did an incredible job. I was really very impressed with the work that all of them did. Just recently, we got a list of items that needed to be done from Allen's Tree Service. They did a drive-through of the town and looked at a lot of major limbs and overhanging limbs that were in danger of falling down, and gave us a list and an estimate of $1,400. We asked our Public Works crew people to take a look at it and see what they could do. They did the whole list. It required 8 manpower hours, and it cost approximately $200 to do the $1,400 worth of work. So not only did they do a great job, but they saved money for the town and ultimately for our homeowners too. One of the things that I know they relayed to me was that they don't have all the equipment that they really need to do the job that they're capable of doing. And that really, you know, when a system like that is strained, when there's a big major disaster, you realize, hey, we need equipment and we don't have it. We don't have an adequate snowblower. The thing that we have is broken. It was inadequate to begin with. Something larger, approximate cost $1,200, would be incredibly useful to clear out parking areas, sidewalks, emergency services.
That's what you saved on Allen's trees today.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah.
In fact, now, yeah.
We're just going to spend it? I'd like to save it.
Well, if you want to buy a snowblower.
but we could use a snowblower. Chainsaws would be helpful, three chainsaws. I got a list from Greg Defoe, who was good enough to give me a list of everything. 20-inch chainsaw, 18-inch, and a 14-inch. Telescoping tree trimmer, so you can do the overhead tree limbs that were hanging. There was a lot of them hanging. I know Cody and other people and our public works employees went around. And it's really hard to reach them when you don't have the adequate equipment like that.
They call them widow makers, all the branches hanging down.
Yeah, they do, and for good reason. Could use a string trimmer with attachments, too, to do a lot of the work. One of the basic things we don't have, and I'm laughing, but I shouldn't, is an aluminum stepladder. Because I know Anna was saying that Greg, I think, had to do something today and was standing in a chair. And she said, don't we have a ladder? He said, no, we don't. So some of the basic things that we need, an aluminum stepladder is a basic thing. And I'm sure the joint insurance fund people would be happy that we purchase a ladder and adequate equipment. So miscellaneous tools, we're estimating it's probably approximately $6,000 worth of equipment that we really need to do the kind of work that we need to meet these emergencies that we seem to be having. Three nor'easters in, what, 10 days?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We keep focusing on last Wednesday's nor'easter, but the week before, all of Farm Lane was out. So again, our public works department the public works department and the state police were really helpful, and again, the borough hall was open because there were quite a few families with no power for about 26 hours.
Yeah. But everybody did a great job. I'm really glad that we're taking on tasks that used to get contracted out routinely, and really saving the town a lot of money and being able to handle things more quickly, and you know, actually talk to homeowners too about their problems. There were a lot of calls that we got for people.
More people coming in.
Yeah, they wanted to know if we could fix this or do that, and we were able to dispatch people to take care of some of these issues and block off streets where there were dangling power lines, that kind of thing. But it was really rough the last two storms, and hopefully this one won't be as bad, but. They really need a little bit more equipment here. We never really did that before. We never really had an adequately equipped public works department. And now that we have really great employees, I think it's time to do that and go out and get some prices on some of the equipment.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah.
Just because this just came up, I guess, this afternoon, but it's a little indelicate. But once again, our toilet is broken in here. So possibly a new toilet at this point could go on that list because it's really primitive in there.
Our people have been fixing that toilet, too. I think
right.
They fixed it twice.
It's been repaired so many times, I think.
Can I just say
toilet.
Something about the toilet?
Sure.
For what it's worth, it's an odd toilet where you would
it's
have
Roosevelt.
To push a button.
Of course it's odd.
Push a button in the middle of the tank cover. The tank cover does not have that button, so that
oh, right,
whole situation of guts inside don't belong to the way the toilet was originally set up. So it might be cheaper in the long run to get a toilet.
That's what I thought, because I don't think toilets are actually very expensive, so
right.
Might want to put that on the list.
All right.
And again, thanks for giving me the leeway to add on to Cody's report.
And actually, as a final thing, I just wanted to congratulate Cody. Cody had a display at the Philadelphia Flower Show last week, which is the largest and oldest flower show in the country, and his display won an award. So,
cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So I'm so tired right now.
Yeah, it's 9 days long.
9 days, yeah, it just ended yesterday.
Yeah,
well, I'm ready for it tonight now.
Okay, and finally, we have utilities. Council member Trammell.
Okay, I'm probably going to say some of the things that everybody else said, but I'll just go down the list. 26th of February, we met met with the Utilities Committee before the council meeting and brought them up to date with what was going on since I was really the first time we had a full committee, let's say. February 28th, there was a sewer blockage at the Triangle in front of Eric's house. Toby called Route 24. It's a company that comes in and jets out the sewer lines. It was rising pretty fast, and once it was jetted out, there were tons of paper towels. So, again, we should ask all the people in the town not to flush on flushables, and we'll be talking about that at our next meeting, how to approach that. The nor'eastern of 3-3, a tree fell down in front of 11 Farm Lane, I believe it was, broke the telephone pole in two, which pulled down the electric wires from the other side of the street there. So just about all of Farm Lane went down. And JCP&L, the state police, everybody showed up. You guys showed up, the Public Works Department. They blocked the street off before state police got there and after the state police left. And it was a day or so before that got back together and Burr Hall was open and people got warm, charged the batteries and whatnot. The second nor'easter last week, or I'm not even sure.
Wednesday.
When.
Last Wednesday.
Yeah, it was the 3rd of the 7th of March, right? Two high voltage lines. And when I say high voltage, I mean 12,400 volts. Those are the aluminum lines all the way on top, the three on top of the telephone poles. Two of them went down and on Pine Lane, Pine Drive, in front of Deirdre's house, I believe, and blocked their cars in there. One high-voltage line was hanging at the water tower. Three high-voltage lines were hanging in front of Toby. I'm sorry, Mr. Parker's house. Okay. I'm really wiped out after this test work. I'll tell you, I'm like working on half my brain right now.
There's also bracket.
Yes,
totally
the T on
bracket.
Top of the telephone pole was snapped off, and that was a tree that Dave Curtis chopped up out there. And two of the high voltage lines were hanging there on one part of the pole, and the other third line was just kind of hanging. And the one at the water plant, the water tower, was a problem because the tree branch was still hanging on the lines when JCP&L got there. They had to call a tree service to come and remove the tree before they could repair the lines there. People were at Borough Hall 7th, 8th, and the 9th until 6 p.m. It was midnight or so on the other ones. We're really happy that the emergency generator... midnight on the first two nights, 6 p.m. on the third night. And the emergency generators all kicked in, and it was a good thing. On the 9th of March, we met and toured with the water plant with Toby, myself, Robin, and Carmella, and a few other folks, just to get a sense of what these plants are all about. And we looked over the DEP problems and got that in progress. Last night, it was reported on farm that there was brown water. Greg Pusiel went there about 9 o'clock or spoke with Lou. And then he went to the water plant and found that the iron was up. It was 0.02 in the morning. Don't quote me on this, but it was regular in the morning. It was higher in the afternoon. And at nighttime, it was very high. So people's water started turning brown. And now we're thinking about this. It seems like what would everybody do after 3 days of having no electricity? People would probably go home and do their laundry and wash the dishes and all of that stuff. So there was apparently a lot of water coming out of the water plant at that time. And this goes back to some of the DEP problems. The iron sludge and the two settling tanks at the water plant have not been pumped out for 3 or 4 years now, since the water plant was redone. And if you think about it, if you got like a cup of water here and you got a quarter full or a half full of iron sludge on the bottom, and you slap the table or stick something at it, it's going to bounce up and down. We'll probably pull some of that iron up with it. And that may very well be the cause of a lot of the brown water through the years, is the maintenance of the sludge tanks. So that's going to cost, but that's all of the DEP stuff. That is just one of those problems. So Carmella was right. We have to look at a long-term solution to keep the DEP happy, to keep our water clean, and to keep our stuff flushing. And one last thing is, while we were here at Borough Hall, one of the nights, the last night, the last midnight night, somebody had a radio on, and we were listening to
Steve Trevelise.
He was pounding on the governor. He was pounding on JCP&L. I think we owe a debt of gratitude to him for putting their feet to the fire and making sure that this little town out in the middle of nowhere where it was heard, and we got, these guys showed up 10 o'clock in the morning the next day. So
Steve does that every storm.
Good for
You're
Steve.
He does that every storm.
He kicked butt, I'll tell you right now. We were listening to him, and they were here the next day. So thank you, Steve. Or not Steve, but Trev.
Steve Trevelise.
Okay.
And one year he reported on the radio that Roosevelt was completely back up. You know, everyone had power, and that wasn't true.
No.
And boy, did he hear it from the people, because they didn't want JCP&L to forget about them and think that everyone was back on.
We're making friends with all the JCP&L guys. We see them so much these days.
JCP&L has been much more attentive to Roosevelt in the last few years. I mean, we were really their lowest priority, and for years and years we would just be the last town to be turned on. Mm-hmm. If the power went off, you could rest assured that at least 8 hours. And it's really not, unless it's a true emergency like this or disaster.
Well, Jerry,
they're much more attentive to us now.
Jerry, our JCP&L rep, was a good friend to us too.
Yeah, well, it started with him. Yeah, it started with him. It's really.
Hey, that's it for me.
And all the generators kicked on, and all the plants.
Yes, they did.
That's the first thing that I worry about, because I live next to one of them. And when the power fails, I open my back door and I want to hear that thing kick on, and it did. And that's really important. You know, we take it for granted. You know, you have a power failure. And so what if you didn't have water? What if you didn't have...
I didn't have it until Friday night.
Yeah, and I know Michael didn't, too, because if you live up on Eleanor Lane, you're not connected to city water.
That was
electricity goes, you're on manual mode, right?
Yeah. That was the last line at the water plant that took a little longer to fix, you know.
You get some exercise with the gallons of water, right?
Okay.
But anyhow, all the plant generators kicked on, which was great. We verified that everything kicked
on. And Borough Hall also for a half an hour, because when they had to lose some of the electricity, Borough Hall did have electricity in a few places on Homestead. But to repair the lines, they have to kill the other lines so they can get close enough to repair the ones that need to be repaired.
Right.
So as soon as it kicked off, I was here. The generators turned on. That was like magic. It was very nice. So I appreciate it.
Good.
Okay, we have no borough official reports. No old business. New business.
Old business?
Oh, do you have something to bring
up? I don't know. I just wanted to bring up again the email from Bob Clark, and just to bring it back on the table, the letter that they sent us February 9th, the email regarding the three suggestions that we're discussing 2 and 3, but I'm hoping that 1 will also be discussed at the, at the administration committee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I say something there, having read that and having a long talk with my brother last night, who was an administrator, he's retired, doesn't want to do it again. He really thinks we need a part-time administrator here, at least. You know, so I think it's something we should look into. Okay.
New business, sale of liquor license.
Yeah, we talked about that with Kathleen, but I didn't know we had finalized it, so I respectfully withdraw that. We're going to bring it up at the next council meeting.
Okay.
Thanks, Kathleen. I didn't follow up with that with you on that.
Okay.
That was my fault.
All right, comes a public comment. Bert?
Yeah. Quickly, the last item.
Hold on.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry. Not
yeah,
you.
It's...
public comment.
802?
802. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
And wait, name and address.
Bert Ellentuck, 22 Homestead Lane. On the sale of the liquor license, does that mean somebody has offered to buy, or you're putting an ad in the paper?
May I answer?
Yes.
none of the above. We're going to go through, when we do it, we're going to go through the process that is laid out for us to follow, which is discussing here what the bid should be, then putting it out to bid as a minimum bid. We're following the process, and Kathleen and Greg will, our borough attorney will guide us.
So you're preparing an ad. You're preparing an ad to be published.
Yeah.
Asking for proposals.
Whatever the ABC requires.
No, we're discussing the future of the liquor license. That's how I would phrase it. We're discussing the future of the liquor license because it's been dormant for quite some time.
Well, that leads me to another question. If you're discussing the future of the liquor license, does that mean you're contemplating getting rid of the liquor license?
No. It just means that it's been dormant, so we're going to rethink the price and putting it out to bid.
Okay. I'm sorry, something that's not on the agenda. But the deli, there was some discussion very early on in December and January about talking to the present owner and trying to mollify him, if I may say that.
Can I comment?
And to see if you could get him interested in doing something.
Well, I just want to correct the...
Well, okay, that's fine.
Mollify, yeah.
Okay.
We gathered information from...
From him, from the owner.
The Community Development Committee did meet, and I did report on that several times when it happened, yeah.
I'm sorry. But
we really don't have any new information.
No,
I'm not sure I have the old information.
Yeah, it's in the minutes and in my reports. I'd be glad to get those for you.
I would appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Easy to do.
Anyone else? Going?
Bob Clark, Lake Drive. Just wondering how much public information there is with regard to the problems at the water and sewer plants. I admit to not having focused on exactly what's on the borough's website, but have the reports from DEP where they correspond with the borough and site violations, have those things been put on the website so the public can digest them?
I think so.
No.
No.
No. Okay. Not the first one.
Is that something we should do?
No, that was under, that's in this file.
People have made open requests for the underlying info. Mr. Cragen did.
Yeah, the water release.
Stack of paperwork to give it. Yeah. Certainly public information. I mean, you guys can publish whatever you like.
I think even though it's a lot, we keep talking about Roosevelt being this smart, unique little town. People in town could probably figure out what's going on rather than me trying to jot down while I'm sitting here all these chemical terms and things. I could just look at the report and I'd know how it was properly spelled, and I could then look it up and see what it meant, and I'll look at see what people, including experts, say about the things that DEP is concerned about. Mm-hmm. And anybody in town would be able to do that if this information was on the borough's website. And given the fact that it's so important and so important with regard to safety, it's probably a good thing that it would be one of the things that would get on the borough's website as a matter of priority.
We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'd
appreciate it.
Okay. Are you principally concerned with the issues that DEP raised?
What did you say again?
I mean, just if we get the right documents up so that we can get to the point. Are you concerned about the issues that the DEP raised? You want to see what they did and evaluate them? Because there's two principal documents that do that.
Right.
The wastewater treatment plant survey and then the more recent wastewater treatment plant center survey.
Yeah.
And those documents basically are a summary of the issue at both facilities in total,
exactly.
Everything that's outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, some of it's been resolved at this point, but it would give you at that point in time what the deal was.
Right. Well, the borough's reports, perhaps summarizing some of the things that Carmela Roberts said, could be included with those items from DEP. and that would probably be helpful to the town, especially those few individuals that would take the time to look at it closely. But I'm not so concerned about what I know. I mean, I follow what goes on in the borough a lot more than a lot of other people. So I still probably could improve the overall knowledge that I have about these matters. But there are other people in town that are completely clueless about what's going on, and including the borough's response to it, some of which is commendable, you know, to have Carmela Roberts look at these things and to be in communication with DEP and the like. That's the kind of information that would start out perhaps being alarming, but then ultimately wind up being reassuring that people in officialdom in Roosevelt are on the job, you know, attending to these things that are DEP concerns.
Mm-hmm. Yep. May I ask a question? To Greg, can I give Bob the water report and the sewer report? I have
a
copy.
Those are public
here.
Documents, as are okay. Carmela's letters to the governing body.
Okay, well, just
talking
to keep
about
it
the remedial measures and stuff like that, all that stuff is public. Yeah.
Just to keep it from the stack of papers like this to the culmination from the DEP. And can we put that on the website?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, the borough has to respond in writing to those letters. So if you just put all those writings on, it's pretty clear timeline of what's going on. Okay.
Bob, I got a pair about this much for you, and that's from the DEP. One water, one sewer. I'll give it to you, and we can put it on the website. I have it in the other room.
Just again, you know, it's important that the entire town have access.
Yeah,
to
no,
this.
I said we would definitely put it on the website.
Coming on the website would be best.
Yeah. Okay.
May I ask a question?
That's in my
Well, we're in the public portion, I think, now.
Yeah, it's well, I'm asking. Yeah, I'm asking the mayor because she is the microphone. I mean, the chair. Would that include the reports from our license, the response reports from our licensed operator?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are public.
That would be part of it too.
Mm-hmm. The investigation reports completed by the administration committee, however, remain personnel records.
Right.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, like I said, the responses would be good because they could probably be, to a large extent, reassuring.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think some of the response is still in the hands of the committee, the investigation committee, so I don't...
I mean, to the investigation report has most of those exhibits that we're talking about already attached, and those exhibits are certainly public documents.
Okay.
The evaluation and all the contents of that are not the option of the employee may involve.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Last chance. Anyone else? Okay, we close the public portion at 8:11.
Do we have any closed session?
Yes. So,
could I just ask? Do we anticipate taking any action after the closed session, so the public knows whether or not?
Yeah, I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah,
no.
Just to check in on.
Right.
All the
DEP violations.
Yes.
Make sure we got everyone handled
everything. Okay,
great. Okay, so good. Move to go into closed
session. Thank you all for coming.
Well, first, a motion, then I'll read the resolution.
Yes, I said move. Anybody can move.
Oh, I thought.
So I said, do I have a motion to go into closed session? From someone at the council table?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
No. Discussion, please, before you have a vote. Is that acceptable?
Yeah.
Discussion? The resolution says about going into closed session to discuss potential litigation, and then it just has a dash NJDEP. I think this should be, although it may come within the exception of the Open Public Meetings Act. The Open Public Meetings Act says that that a municipality may discuss certain things in closed session. It doesn't say it shall discuss those in closed session. And I think it's not wise, in my view, to discuss DEP violations in closed session. We have several people here in the public, it's an issue of great public concern here, and I think it's like as I said, even though arguably you could say that DEP violations are potential litigation, I still would urge that this council discuss the DEP matter in open session.
Can I just ask what our concern is and why we would want to go into executive session for this?
Well, we're going to talk about potential penalties, there's enforcement actions. I mean, it's all potential litigation. I generally discuss it in the executive session, but if you'd like to discuss it in public, I don't particularly have a problem with that. It's up to you guys. I, of course, think it's safer to discuss in the executive session, or I would put it there, but there's no imminent risk to the borough in discussing it openly.
Has the DEP threatened to take the borough to court?
Well, that's what they do when they send the notice of violation. If you don't comply with it, they do it to a summary penalty proceeding and then award penalties against the town that are turned into a judgment.
But we haven't, I thought we still have, Carmela said that we responded to the first issue regarding the water plant, and we still had time to respond to the second one. So I in my view, it looks to me like litigation would be way down the road and only if we didn't respond. Is that correct?
That's why it's called potential.
But it would be way down the road. I mean, you could argue that any matter discussed in the council is potential litigation because anyone could file an action in lieu of prerogative writs challenging any action this body took. I think that would be a stretch. And I don't want to debate the legal issue. I really think it ought to be publicly discussed since there is no imminent litigation. That's really where I'm headed.
Could there be something that we say now that is a matter of public record that gets taken out later by someone and made who's involved with litigation against the borough?
Well, the notion is that I'm your attorney, so anything I discuss with you in executive session is privileged and no one has the ability to question me on it, the DEP. If you have this discussion in public and someone said something that could lead to a DEP violation or penalty, it's on the public record and there's no privilege that attaches to it. It's kind of like the right to remain silent in my analogy. So I put it in executive session because I never know what you guys are going to say, quite frankly.
Well, that's true about anything, I believe. I believe that's true.
I'm not sure what anyone's going to blame.
And that's why we have you here.
I was going to say, and my feeling is that we hire a municipal attorney for your legal expertise and your guidance. So if it's your inclination that we should go into executive session, well, that's why you're here.
Look, it's my job to keep you the safest. I have plenty of clients that take risks all the time and then don't take the safest shot that I advise to them.
So well, yeah, and I appreciate your guidance, too, and also that you led right from the beginning about how you know that governments operate best, that are transparent, and share information. So I'm taking it that you're taking that point of view, and in this instance, you thought it's not in our best interest to go into a closed session. So that's why I would agree to it.
Well, I don't see the resolution saying it's in our best interest. I didn't hear the attorney saying.
So rather than belabor all this again, can we have a vote again?
Or
can
we resolve disputes?
Yeah.
Here in the governing body?
Yeah. Okay, so.
Okay, so
do
a
roll
a
call
first,
for
yeah,
we're going
I
into
first second, and I'll do a roll call.
Okay, yeah.
Ms. Phillips?
To go into closed
in,
session.
Yes.
Right, so.
Yes. Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Porter?
Yes.
Ms. Parrish?
No.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so.
I would like to make a motion before we go into closed session that it be recorded.
Second.
Particularly since we're going into closed session.
Recorded verbatim?
That
recorded
we recorded
on the
the same way we recorded this meeting when it is no longer a potential litigation. In my view, the public should be able to hear that discussion.
Do I have a second for that motion? Motion fails.
Didn't move.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to read the resolution.
Wait, hold on. What just happened?
I moved that we record it, and there was
and
no
second. And
you
didn't get a second? I'll no. second it so that we can bring it to a vote.
Okay.
Okay, this is a vote for recording the executive session.
Can I ask a question? It's not normal to record.
It's not required by the law to record the executive session. Mm-hmm. As an attorney, I generally don't like to be recorded when giving advice to my client. Okay. Falls in the same category as the prior one.
Gotcha.
There's no harm in it. I mean, they are, again, not subject to OPRA until the need for confidentiality mm-hmm. no longer exists. So, in essence, they're really no different than the minutes. Mm-hmm. It's just usually my practice. I recommend not recording it, but there's no problem with recording it either.
Okay. Thank you.
So this is a motion
to record.
To record closed session. Ms. Phillip?
No.
Mr. Hamilton?
No.
Mr. Parker?
No.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
No.
Mr. Trammell?
No.
Okay, so we are not recording closed session. I'm going to read the I'm going to try to read the resolution. Okay, whereas the Open Public Meeting Act enacted October 21st, 1975 permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempt from the requirement of the Act, and whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portions thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting, and whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempt under this said Act. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Borough Council as follows, that the next portion of this meeting be held in private session, that the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matter, A, potential litigation, and JDEP, that no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated that discussion concluded in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in the matter. Okay. So,
going into closed session at
8:20.
She has to read that before.
Let me give you your comment.
Mr.
Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.